God bless you. God bless you. We are happy to have you together. Okay, this morning, the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, from verse 13 to 21. Romans chapter 10, from verse 13 to 21. Let us read together alternatively. Let me start verse 13. Actually, this verse is the last verse of last sermon, last time. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Consequently, faith comes from hearing. Are you hearing? Yes. Hearing the message. What message? The message is heard through the word of Christ. Again, I ask you, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious, jealousy by those who are not a nation, Gentile. I will make you angry by a nation, Gentile nation, that has no understanding. Together, but concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to disobedient and obstinate people. Amen. God bless all of us with his words. Salvation is easy, so easy. Salvation is so simple. Salvation absolutely free. Salvation is open to anybody, everybody. Salvation is available for all human beings, including you and me. But it does not mean salvation is free. Already paid. Salvation is not cheap. Why salvation is free, do you know? Because so expensive. The price of salvation is too expensive to pay. That's why the price of salvation is priceless. The price for our salvation God paid is the life of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Imagine if you have only child, son or a daughter. Anyway, if you have only child, for what in this world can you put your only child in the place of death. Terribly, terrible death. For what in this world? For nothing. Then our Father God put his only child, only one and begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to save us, to save us. Then Jesus says one day, salvation, the kingdom of God, salvation, same, synonym. Then Jesus says, salvation is like a treasure hidden in a field. Then when a man found it, in his joy, joyfully, he sold all he had and bought that field. Then for emphasis, Jesus repeated again, salvation is like a merchant looking for good pearls. Then when he found one of great value, also in his joy, joyfully, he sold everything he had and bought that pearl. This is the same book, the Word of God. Then, in this same book, one place says, salvation is absolutely free. We do not pay anything for our salvation. Absolutely free. Absolutely easy, simple. Then, another place in the same Bible says, you must pay all you have for salvation. How? Question. How can we combine these two contradictory seeming verses? Yes, both, the Word of God. One page in the same book says, salvation is free, available, open for anybody, everybody. Another page in the same book, you must pay all you have. You must give all you have to God for your salvation. How can you combine these two contradictory seeming verses? I hope we are very clear in this matter. Please do not be confused in this matter. First, yes, this is true. Salvation is absolutely free. The price for our salvation, God paid already through the life of Jesus Christ on the cross. We have nothing to pay, to buy, to get salvation. This is true. Are you okay? Clear? Then, Christian life in this world is holy journey, pilgrim process to know more and more the true value of salvation. Imagine, which do you think is more valuable, more precious, salvation or all you have? Really? So Christian life is in this world, the more we know the value of salvation, the more we want to give, the more we want to dedicate ourselves for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Yes, I'm sure, personally, I'm saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm pastor. Every day I pray, I read the Bible many hours, but I cannot tell still now I know full value of salvation. Still, I'm on the way to know the value of salvation. The more we know the value of salvation, the more we once give, once sacrifice, dedicate, devote ourselves for that salvation. May God bless all of us. or that we may be clear in this matter. Shall we read one more time from verse 13 to 15? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This good news, euangelion, good news of peace, good news of salvation. Already, this word is written, Isaiah 52:7. Already they received good news in the Old Testament time. Yes, we are saved, we are justified only by believing in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, and by confessing Jesus is Lord with my mouth before men. We attain righteousness through no works, no efforts, no our powers, no our wisdom, no our wealth, no our honor. You know, many people want themselves to be recognized as righteous because they have much more, because they give more, because they read and study more, because they serve more, because they do more. No, no. All this belongs to only self-righteousness, civil righteousness. We gain faith righteousness, saving righteousness, Christ righteousness only by believing in Jesus Christ and confessing Jesus is my Lord. You know, these two verses, verse 14 and 15, we can see the same word repeated. Did you see? How? Five times repeated. How? Yes, verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then question is, how can they call if they do not believe? How can they believe if they do not hear? How can they hear if nobody preaching? How can they preach unless sent? Then conclusion, how beautiful are the feet. Do you have a feet? How many? God bless Kai's feet to be strong, powerful, spiritual, heavenly feet to bring message of goodness for salvation. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Final, how can they preach unless they are sent. So today's sermon topic title is faith, saving faith leads God sent faith, God sent belief. Do you have saving faith? Amen. If you have saving faith, you are to have God-sent faith. God-sent. Why you are here? Why we are here? Because God sent. Do you believe this? This is a saving faith. God sent. God sent his son in this world to save this world through him. Then finally, Jesus repeats two times in his intercessory prayer for us, Father God, as you sent me in this world, I'm sending them, I'm sending my people in this world. And finally, after resurrection, just before ascension, his final greeting is, peace be with you. As Father sent in this world, I am sending you in this world. At this moment, I want to share the story of Joseph in Genesis. You know, Joseph is the sample. Joseph is the pattern or shadow of Jesus Christ. We are familiar with Joseph's story. Joseph was hated. Joseph was hated by his 10 elder brothers. Just simply because of his dream. Also, our Lord Jesus Christ was hated by his physical brothers, Jews, for nothing. And one day, these 10 brothers met Joseph in an open field. And they sold Joseph to a merchant. Then merchant took Joseph to Egypt and sold him again in Egypt. And Joseph had many, many sufferings, difficulties, hardships, injustice. He experienced injustice in prison more than 2 years. But finally, at last, by God's protection, provision, providence, Joseph became what? Prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful country at the time, at the age of 30. Can you become a prime minister in any country in this world at the age of 30 by your own efforts or knowledge, wisdom, effort? Impossible. Joseph had no PhD. Even Joseph did not finish high school, but he became prime minister of the most powerful country at the age of only 30 by the guidance, provision, providence of God, who is Almighty. Then there was a 7 years famine. Before 7 years abundance, Joseph knew that by the guidance of God. And during 7 years abundance, Joseph saved abundance, enough food for preparation of coming 7 years famine. Then during famine, no food, not only in Egypt, but also in neighboring countries. Also, Joseph's father, Jacob, in Canaan, had no food. So one day, Jacob sent his 10 sons, Joseph's 10 brothers, to Egypt to buy food. Then 10 brothers of Joseph went to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Joseph recognized them as his 10 brothers who sold him several years ago, but they did not recognize them. The first dealing was done. Then sometime later, they came again, a second coming, to buy food. In second coming, Joseph revealed himself, saying, I'm Joseph. Can you imagine? Can you picture this picture in your mind? I'm Joseph. I'm your brother, the one you sold into Egypt. Can you imagine how they were feeling? Maybe frozen with fear, trembling. Then at this moment, Joseph said to them, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me into this Egypt. You sold me, but God sent me to save many lives, to save your lives, your children's lives, also many lives of this world. This is Christian life. Please remember, yes. They sold Joseph. This is true. Fact. This is also fact. They sold Joseph. This is Joseph's earthly life story. But at the same time, Joseph interpreted this earthly fact into heavenly life story. God sent me. This is Joseph's heavenly life story. You know, we are you Christians? If we are Christians, we are writing our story, two stories at the same time. We are writing our heavenly life story through earthly life story. This is a true Christian life in this world. Yes, we are here. If we are asked why you are here in this earth, why you are here in Korea, why you are here in Jeonju, in AICF, in NDU Church, yes, we can answer to this question. I'm here, I'm in Korea, I'm Jeonju because I married Korean guy. I'm here to study in Jeonbu University. Why did you choose Jeonbu University? Because by the introduction of my professor, like this, some, Wallabala, many regions. Yes, this is true. But this is our earthly life story. But our heavenly life story is through this earthly life story. I'm here because God sent. This is our conviction. We are writing, we are living our heavenly life story, heavenly life through earthly life. We are living invisible life through visible life. We are living spiritual life through physical life. Yes, our earthly life, all kinds of happening in our earthly life is meaningful only when it is connected with the heavenly story. No matter how beautiful, no matter how wonderful, no matter how magnificent, our earthly life is totally meaningless, futile, vanity, unless connected to heavenly story. Shall we say it together? You sold me. But God sent me. Let us say it together. I'm here. Because God sent me. This is Christian's heavenly life story. Then verse 16-17 says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Already in the Old Testament, they heard the good news of salvation, good news of peace. But few received, few accepted, few believed that message. Lord, who has believed our message? This is quoted from Isaiah 53:1. At this moment, I want to see this chapter together. Reopen your Bible, Isaiah 53. It's Isaiah, also Isaiah, book Isaiah is gospel book of the Old Testament. Especially this chapter, Isaiah chapter 53 is suffering Isaiah chapter. Suffering Isaiah chapter. 고난받는 메시아. 고난받는 메시아자. 쉘리 투게더 Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 1 to 8. Okay, let us read together. Ready, go. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry grounds. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one of from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carries our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Yes, by his wounds we are healed. Not only spiritually, but also physically possible. Amen. Verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Okay, remember, he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, who was stricken. By his wounds we are healed. Even he did not open his mouth. He is Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, his first witness about Jesus Christ: behold, everybody in this world, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, including your sin and my sin. All these verses are proper, fulfilled completely, literally in the New Testament, in his earthly life in this world. Shall we go to 1 Peter, remembering Isaiah chapter 33 from verse 1 to 8, remembering these verses, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 21 to 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 to 24 is summary of the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 21 to 24. Okay, let us read together. Ready, go. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, they did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself by him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Amen. Okay, let us come back to our text, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Shall I read one more time? Verse 17 is key verse. Verse 17. Consequently, as a result, finally, at last, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Whose message? The message is heard through the word of Christ. Okay. Let us read one more time. 17, only verse 17. Okay. Ready, go. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Yes. Saving faith, growing faith is possible only by hearing the word of Christ, not word of human presidents. That's why Bible says, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Do you underline? The word of Christ. The word of Christ. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yes. Time is 10 minutes. Within 10 minutes, I will summarize. I'll try to say all story of Bible in summary within 10 minutes. Please pray for me. Within 10 minutes, I'll try. I'll do my best to say all story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Focusing this verse. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and this message is heard through the word of Christ. You know, in the Bible, there are many persons, many characters, but in summary, we can say there are at least 12 main characters in the Bible. Okay? I once introduced you 12 main characters of the Bible. Then whose main mission, ministry is the same, only one. The 12, the key mission, key ministry of representative of the Bible, 12 main characters is the same, only one. That mission is to bear witness Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, our God, our King. Are you ready?
Yes.
I will close with this introduction. 12 main characters, key mission is the same, only one. That mission is to testify about Jesus Christ. Yes, we have many, many jobs to do in this world. We have many, many business to do in this world. But we must be clear, what is my key mission, key job, number one job? What is your number one job in this world to do? That is, in conclusion, in advance, that is to testify about Jesus Christ. First, number one, yes, Bible. First character, Bible. Yes, Bible says about many, 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 many things, about family, about marriage, about faith, about music, about architecture, about human governments, politics, economic, many, many topics. But key mission of the Bible is to testify about Jesus Christ. That's why John chapter 20, verse 31 says, Bible is written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ and Son of God. By believing, you may have life, eternal life in his name. That's why Jesus himself says, you diligently study the scriptures, Bible, because you think by Bible, by scriptures, you possess what? Possess eternal life. Then these are the scriptures that testify about me, Jesus Christ. Number two, Father God. Father God. Yes, our Father God has many, many jobs, business to do. Also, Father God's key mission, main ministry is to testify about Jesus Christ, his son. You know, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, heaven was open and voice came from heaven, pointing Jesus Christ. Father God says directly, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. With him I am fully satisfied. Also again, at Transfiguration Mountain, when Jesus on the top of Transfiguration Mountain, Moses, Elijah appeared. They talked together. But Moses, Elijah disappeared. Only Jesus left. Then again, heaven opened. Father God says directly, pointing Jesus Christ, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And then listen to him. Oh, everybody in this world, listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. This is the testimony of Father God. That's why Jesus himself says, my Father who sent me in this world himself has testified concerning me. To see me is to see Father God. To believe in me is to believe in Father God who sent me. Number three, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. What is the key mission of the Holy Spirit? Yes, Holy Spirit guiding us, teaching us, leading us, sometimes rebuking us, encouraging us, building us. But key ministry, key mission of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, nobody can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Do you call Jesus Lord? Do you call Jesus Lord? It means you are calling Jesus Lord by the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself says, John chapter 15, verse 26. Yes, when the counselor comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, Holy Spirit will testify about me, Jesus Christ. Abraham, do you know Abraham? Yes, Abraham did many, many jobs. Main character in not only in Genesis, but also Old Testament, even New Testament. Then Jesus says, Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of my day, and he saw it and was glad. What does this mean? Even Abraham's key mission was to testify about whom? Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Not I was. I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. Number five. Bible, Father God, Holy Spirit, Abraham. Number five. Moses, first prophet, Moses. Yes, Moses. The first five books of the Old Testament were written by Moses. Even Moses' key mission is to testify about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself says in John chapter 5, verse 46, if you believed Moses, Jesus said to Jews directly, they thought they believed Moses completely, perfectly. But they did not believe Moses. Jesus said to them, if you believed Moses, you would believe in me. Why? Why? Because Moses wrote all books about me. Moses testified about me. It means Moses wrote Genesis to testify about Jesus Christ. Moses wrote Exodus to reveal Jesus Christ. Moses wrote Leviticus to show Jesus Christ in this world. Moses wrote Numbers to bear witness to Jesus Christ. Moses wrote Deuteronomy to testify, to reveal, to increase Jesus Christ in this world. Number six. David is the greatest king in the Israel history, in the Old Testament. Also, David is a symbol of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came in this world through the family line of David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, start with the book of the genealogies of Abraham and David, Jesus Christ. Psalm 110 verse 1. Easy to memorize. 110 verse 1. This is the testimony of David. This is David. Shall we read together? The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Two times repeated the same word, Lord, Lord. You see carefully again, same word, but letter is different. Did you see? First Lord, all for L-O-R-D. All, what? Capital. And the next Lord, only first initial was capital. Actually, Hebrew Bible only initial was second Lord, capital letter. What is the difference? First Lord, actually, first Lord is Father God, Jehovah Yahweh. But at the time, they were afraid to call directly the name personal name of God. That's why they translate into just Lord with capital letter. So the first Lord is Jehovah. And second Lord is Messiah to come later. That is why this sentence is repeated in New Testament, Matthew chapter 22, verse 42, 43, 44. Then quoting this verse, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about Christ?" They answered, "Christ? What do you think of Christ? Whose son? Whose son?" They answered, "Son of David." Then Jesus said again, "If then, how is it then that David calls Christ Lord?" And then quoting this verse, he calls Jesus Lord, quoting this Lord. The Lord says to the Lord, another Lord. First person God says to second person God in Trinity God, "Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." This means even the key mission, key job of David was to testify about Jesus Christ. In number 7 in the Old Testament, number 7, all prophets. You know, in the Old Testament, there are many, many prophets, at least from Isaiah to whom? Malachi. All prophets, not only one or two, all prophets' key mission was to testify about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says, all prophets in the Old Testament testify about Jesus Christ, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Whose name? Jesus Christ. This is all. This is the summary of the story of Old Testament. I finished the story of Old Testament. Praise the Lord. I'll keep my promise. New Testament. Okay, let's go to New Testament. Number eight. John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist's key mission is very important because his public position was forerunner of Jesus Christ. You know, his first testimony is pointing Jesus Christ, as we know, "Behold everybody in this world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He must increase, I must decrease. He must rise up, I must fall down. He must succeed, I must fail. He must appear in this world for the salvation of the world, but I must disappear from the stage of human history." Then John chapter 1 from verse 4 says very, very clear. In him, in Jesus Christ, was life. This life was the light of man. This light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then, man came who was sent by God. His name is John. He came as a witness to testify about that light, Jesus Christ. Why? So that through his testimony, all men might believe in Jesus Christ. How clear. Number 9, all apostles, at least 12 disciples. Who is the representative of apostles at the time? Peter. Peter, as representative of other apostles, Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 15, "You killed the author of life, Jesus Christ, but God raised him from the dead." We, not I, not only Peter, as representative, we are the witnesses of this. How clear. That's why Jesus, just after resurrection, before ascension, he said to them, you are the witnesses of these things. Also, Holy Spirit will testify about me. You will testify about me. Number 10. Paul. Yes. No question, no doubts about Paul. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, I resolved. We have Paul, hallelujah. Second Paul. You must be Paul in this generation, right now. That Paul is in heaven. You are here, okay? You responsible for your name. Okay? I resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I have nothing to boast of except the cross of Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul shout, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ. So to die is gain. Hallelujah. No problem. If we die, we go to heaven directly, immediately. Number 11, church. No question, no doubts why church is the body of Christ. Church is not building. Church is the people of God who confess to Jesus Christ. You are the Christ and Son of the living God. We are holy assembly. We are holy communion, holy gathering of God's people to confess. Same, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, on this confession, on this faith statement, I will build my church. The gates of hell will never overcome this church. I give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the church, my body. So whatever church bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever church loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. It means the main key ministry, key mission of the church is to testify about Jesus Christ. Why church is here? To testify about Jesus Christ. Church is in this world. But this world should not be in the church. Number 12. Maybe number 12, maybe your story or not, you can check. You can check spiritual medical check. Holy Spirit filled believers. The believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. The key mission, you can check. Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be wise. Do not follow the pattern of this world. The time is very short. The day is evil. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can check yourselves whether you are filled with the Holy Spirit or not. Very simple. Very simple. Sometimes you can check you are pregnant or not by yourself with a simple machine. You do not need to go to hospital to be checked whether pregnant or not. Like this, you can check spiritually you are filled with the Holy Spirit or not. Okay. Conclusion, if your key mission, your priority number one job is to testify about Jesus Christ, this is clear. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. But to testify about Jesus Christ is not your priority number one job, second job, third job, third job. Still not yet. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1a. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power, and then you will be my witnesses. Whose witnesses? Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will become my Jesus witnesses in Jeonju, in Jeonbuk, in Korea, in Asia, all over the world. This is the evidence, proof of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the final words of our Lord Jesus Christ, you left in this world behind you just before ascension to heaven after resurrection, is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will become my witness, Jesus' witness, in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. O Lord God, consequently, faith comes hearing message. The message is heard from the word of Christ. Please help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Guide us, lead us, teach us, encourage us, empower us, enable us to do your job in this world. Father God, help us to be faithful in writing, in living our heavenly life story through earthly life story. Oh, Lord God, thank you for your wonderful faithfulness in keeping your promise. In all things, God is doing for the good of those who love you, our Father God. It means those who calls by your purpose, according to your design in this world. All glory back to you, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.